Amen. Appreciate that. Let's turn, please, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Memorial Day, a day to remember. Romans chapter 5. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today, and I pray that you would help us to speak those things that you would want us to speak. Help us to think those thoughts that you would want us to think, and help us to make those decisions that you would want us to make. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This week I was doing some research on the background of Memorial Day, just trying to refresh my memory on why we celebrate this day. And what I found is there's some really frustrated people out there at what has happened to Memorial Day. Let me just read a few things for you this morning. This is from usmemorialday.org. And I quote, "Traditional observance of Memorial Day has diminished over the years. Many Americans nowadays have forgotten the meaning and traditions of Memorial Day. At many cemeteries, the graves of the fallen are increasingly ignored, neglected. Most people no longer remember the proper flag etiquette for the day. Some people think the day is for honoring any and all dead, and not just those fallen in service to our country." So these people are frustrated. They're frustrated that the day has become a day that's diminished and that the fallen servicemen are forgotten, and they're frustrated. And it's not that they don't think all those who have passed away should be honored. That's not the issue. The issue is just this day is, or Memorial Day, which is not today, actually. Yeah, it is today. Today, it does fall on Sunday. It's the 30th, but it's observed tomorrow. And this has kind of frustrated them. It's not that others shouldn't be honored, but they just wish that they would honor them on a different day and keep the 30th for honoring those who have fallen. I continue to read on. It says, "Memorial Day, originally called Decoration Day, is a day of remembrance for those who have died in our nation's service." I continue on. "It is now celebrated in almost every state on the last Monday in May," just tomorrow. "And that was passed by Congress with the National Holiday Act of 1971 to ensure a three-day weekend for federal holidays." Well, you know, we need some holidays. I mean, we need, holiday really means holy day. We do need some holy days. But there's nothing wrong with vacations. But what they are lamenting is that Memorial Day was packaged in to this situation, that it would be observed on the last Monday of May. And so what they're lamenting is it just becomes a big holiday and they forget what it means. When we were in Washington, D.C., we went to visit Arlington National Cemetery. And it just worked out the time of day we were going to be there was mealtime. And so I don't know if we got some Subway sandwiches. We got something and took with us. And we just thought there would be a picnic area there. And well, there were some benches, but and we sat down on some benches kind of before you actually go into the cemetery. But as we was reading the literature, they emphatically stated they didn't want it to be a picnic area. They wanted people to be quiet. They wanted people to be reverent. They want people to go there just to remember those people who have given their lives, and other people as well are buried there. And I was noticing near President Kennedy's grave, there was more signs yet about being quiet, you know, and being reverent in that cemetery. And so that's the thing that these people are lamenting, that Memorial Day is just now a package deal, you know, and it's just what it is the first big vacation weekend, and people forget to honor those who have fallen in the service of our country. I read on. It says, but what may be needed to return the solemn and even sacred spirit back to Memorial Day is for a return to its traditional day of observance. Many feel that when Congress made the day into a three-day weekend, in with the National Holiday Act of 1971, it made all the easier for people to be distracted from the spirit and meaning of the day. It goes on, as the VFW stated in its 2002 Memorial Day address, changing the date merely to create three-day weekends has undermined the very meaning of the day. So, frustrated people. I can see a lot of parallels between that and our service for the Lord. I mean, they're just, now we just want a package entertainment deal instead of a time to reverently serve and worship the Lord. Let's go, please, to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. When I was reading through that, I just, I can understand their frustration. But it made me think more about the spiritual aspect and how the Lord must be frustrated. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32. Jeremiah 2, 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me, what? Days without number. People have forgotten God days without number. And I can understand these people, you know, they're frustrated with Memorial Day. This weekend is. I mean, and I don't begrudge people a three-day weekend. You know, praise the Lord if you get away and rest and relax. But the fact of the matter is they're lamenting this Memorial Day, but every weekend is like that today. How many people make every weekend a party, especially in the summer? Well, maybe even in the winter if you're in the snowmobiling, you know, the ice snow sports. But think how frustrated God must be. You know, they used to pay double time on Sundays, but I heard that I don't know of any store that pays double time anymore on Sundays. But the last I heard, the reasoning was because no one else counts Sunday any different, so we're not going to pay double time. And you know, it's one of the busiest shopping days of the weekend. You go by Myers on a Sunday, the parking lot's probably jammed. I know Walmart is. So these people are lamenting Memorial Day. What about God lamenting His day, the Lord's day? The whole weekend is party time. You know, that saying, you know, have a good one. Well, there are so many people that hate their jobs. I mean, they do. And the only thing they have to look forward to is the weekends. When I first got married, I've told you the story before, but when I got engaged to my wife, I was in construction work and made a certain dollar. Well, I made $5 an hour. And the housing industry hit a terrible slump, and so I had to take a job in a factory. And so I went from $5 an hour to $3 an hour. Well, I had $5 an hour bills, and now I was making $3 an hour. And I hated my job. I was bored. I liked construction, variety. I got to think, you know, when I was in construction. And I had a job with just a kind of a monotonous assembly line at first. And so I was bored out of my mind. And the only thing in those early days of that job, the only thing, I should have been thinking about the Lord, but I wasn't as spiritual as I should have been. Throughout the day, I thought about my wife, my new wife, because there was nothing else to look forward to. I hated what I was doing. I just hated it. And so, you know, gradually the Lord got my attention. I needed to, you know, put Him first, then my family. But But think of this verse here. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. What must God think this morning? Well, I'd like to give you three things this morning to think about. Number one, remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember your Creator. You know what? There are a lot of people in this world that don't even know they have a Creator. They think they just evolved. Ecclesiastes 12, well, I got news. We do have a Creator, and every one of us are going to stand before Him one day. Every one of us. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. What's the first word? Remember. Remember now thy Creator when? In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young people might not understand that, but the older you get, you do. When you get up, not because the alarm clock goes off, but because you hurt so bad. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator when you have your youth, when you have your strength. And yet that is the exact time when our children, people are trying to brainwash them and teach them evolution. It's the exact time. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And in the days of young people's youth today, they're being brainwashed with evolution that they just evolved from a lower animal form. Is it any wonder that they act like animals? Is it any wonder? Well, no. We have a little gospel tract called Killer Kids. Who's responsible? Well, one of the responsibilities is educators who have crammed this evolution down their throat. You know what? The founding fathers of this country did not believe in evolution. They constantly referred to the Creator. So this is something that came in later. And they would have never been allowed their children to be taught evolution. Never. And yet that's what many, many young people are being taught today. Notice in Genesis 1:1, you know what? If they'd read the Bible, if they had just opened the Bible, they would find out that they didn't evolve. So they've taught that children have been evolved from animals. Have you ever wondered why then we still have monkeys? If a monkey's evolved into man, then why do we still have monkeys? Shouldn't monkeys, you know, be extinct? If life came from lower life forms and came up, then why are those lower forms still here? Why don't we ever find a monkey turning into a man? We don't see that at all. We don't see any of the so-called transitional forms that they talk about. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. And look down in verse 26. The Bible tells us, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Verse 26, and God said, let us what? Make man in what? Our image. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. You know what people are saying? We're going to see this in a little bit. But when people say, well, we evolved, then what they're saying is that was their ancestors. I was made in the image of a toad. Have any of you ever been scared by a toad? I was last night. Maybe I should say startled. I mean, once I saw it, I didn't run from it, but I was looking at a wasp nest or some kind of nest. It was gray and it was starting to form on around our house, and so I was spraying that thing and I wasn't paying attention, and so I'm getting in close and suddenly something jumps near me. It was that big toad, you know. And so was I made in the image of a toad? Maybe some people think so, but not according to the Bible. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We were made in the image and likeness of God. Have you ever seen a toad house? Have you ever seen a toad mansion? Have you ever seen a tool that a toad has built? Do toads have Craftsman tools of their own brand with a toad logo? No. We were made in the image of God. Animals don't have the capability to create and invent. They only have this those certain basic things that God puts into them, like how to build a home, a nest of some sort. How to be afraid of certain animals in order to run or whatever they do. We were made in the image of God. To say that we have evolved is to really dumb ourselves down. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There are no animals that have the mental and creative capabilities that man has. None. The Bible tells us that when people get to the point where they don't remember their Creator, that those are going to be perilous times. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and perilous means dangerous times, dangerous. The further people get away from God, the more dangerous the times become. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3. In verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why? Verse 2. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. That's like the day of Judges. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to who? Parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means lacking self-control. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Don't you see that today? I mean, people just have a hatred for that which is good. Brother Forrest and I yesterday was just talking about Bible translations, and it's just amazing how you can find somebody that uses a different Bible translation other than the King James Bible. And if you use anything other than the King James Bible, most of them are fine with that. It's okay. They don't care. But if they use the NIV or the New American Standard or the New King James or anything else, and you happen to mention that you use the King James Bible, suddenly their feathers are ruffled. I mean, they don't like it. If they use the NIV, I use the New American Standard, hey, brother, everything's fine. But if I use the King James Bible, there's just something about it that just, it's like a dog with its hair standing up on its neck. I mean, they're ready to, you know, bite. Isn't that strange? Isn't it strange that so many professing Christians seem to take pride in the fact that nobody has the perfect Word of God? Isn't that a strange teaching, an idea? Something's wrong. Well, these are perilous times. Verse 3, they are despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than what? Lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What does verse 5 mean? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's like this. They say like, hey man, everything's cool. I believe in God. But they're living like the devil all week long. Living like the devil, but hey, I'm okay. You know, living like the devil, but waving the flag saying, God bless America. Well, how can God bless America when we are living for the devil? We need to, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will what? heal their land. You know, the wave the flag, God bless America, and Budweiser in this hand. Doesn't fit. Doesn't fit. Something's wrong. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Something's goofy with the way people think. So these are perilous times. So the teaching of evolution has knocked out the foundation. So when we go talk to someone about the Lord, hey, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Who? Like yesterday, we stopped at one place and they were working on a pole barn. I just had a feeling they were not going to be in a good mood because it was hot yesterday. And here's a tractor sitting there with a post hole digger, but they're not using the tractor. They're using hand post hole diggers to dig. Now, if you've ever dug all the posts for a pole barn by hand, you know it's not an enjoyable experience. And so I kind of figured on the response we got, because it was hot and dry and so on. But it needs a foundation. A barn needs a foundation. A house needs a foundation. And when they inserted evolution instead of teaching them that they have a creator, all these people are saying, why do I have to answer to God if he even exists? Because if I evolved from animals, why do I have to answer to God? That's their thinking. So it's the foundation is gone. So when we talk to someone about the Lord, it's like speaking a foreign language. Notice with me in Psalm 11, Psalm 11, verse 3. Psalm 11, verse 3. The foundation. The foundation is Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. You take away that foundation and you try to build upon it. Well, you're trying to build upon sand. You're trying to build a foundation about you need to be saved, but your foundation is sand. Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can what? The righteous do. And the foundations have been destroyed. We need to build. We need to make those foundations. So Proverbs 1, 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9, 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why are we doing such dumb things in our country? Because we've lost the fear of God. I mean, even professing Christians, remember, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Many Christians would say, what do you mean fear God? I don't fear God. My God is a God of love. Well, they haven't read the Bible much if they don't understand the fear of God. And so that's the state we're in. Notice in Proverbs 30, it's hurt all kinds of relationships. Proverbs chapter 30. I was in a grocery store yesterday, and just a young couple, young couple. The older you get, the younger they look. It's kind of like the older you get when you see sometimes young people driving, they look like they're about 12 and behind the wheel. And you think, is that boy really old enough to be driving? You wonder. But Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that what? Curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. And on it goes. Well, we seem to be in that generation. Why? The foundation has been destroyed. They've been taught evolution instead of creation. So when you are the creator, you own certain rights. If you create a painting, no one can just come along and legally copy that. The rights are yours. If you write a book, if you write a song, those works are yours. Legally, you have total control over them. People can't just use them, take them, steal them. It's your work. Well, it's the same thing. God has created us, so he has certain rights as creator, and we must yield to him. And you know what? That's not a bad yielding. Notice in John 10, John chapter 10. I never regret getting saved. I never regret forsaking sin. My only regret is that I didn't forsake sin sooner. John chapter 10. The Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come." This is Jesus talking. "I am come that they might," what? "Have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." We're in John 10, 10. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." I can truly say that the Christian life is the abundant life. A life just living for this old world is an empty life. It's empty. It's not satisfying. And you notice there in verse 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." All the things that the world tries to entice you with, give it a test, that test right there. Does it steal from me? Does it kill? And does it destroy? I tell you one thing. Cigarettes do not give abundant life. They steal. I was in the gas station the other day. And I don't know, just I rarely go in the station anymore. I just use the pump, pay at the pump. But I went in that day for whatever reason. And I was looking, and there was a certain brand of cigarette back there that was $7 and something a box, a package. Can you imagine it? I don't know how many cigarettes are in a package, but I tell you something, $7, over $7 for that brand. Why, you know, there was a time when I was looking at the signs back years ago, and it seemed like cigarettes were just a little more than gas, but right now, I mean, that brand is way over what a gallon of gas cost. Amazing. "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy." Cigarettes steal from people. They steal their money. And they just blow it all off in smoke. They kill and they destroy. You go the same thing with liquor, verse 10. Liquor steals from a person. It kills. It destroys. Destroys homes. Destroys marriages. Jesus is the answer. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." Look back in chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. How do we break away from those chains of sin? Chapter 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the" what? "The truth, and the truth shall" what? "Make you free." Verse 34, "Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the" what? "Servant of sin." Why is it so hard to give up liquor? That verse tells you. "Whosoever committeth sin is the" what? "The servant of sin." Why is it so hard to quit smoking? That verse tells you. "Whosoever committeth sin is" what? "The servant of sin." Why is it so hard to forsake rock music? Verse 34 tells you, "Whosoever committeth sin is" what? "The servant of sin." Why is it so hard to quit being immoral once a person starts? Verse 34 tells you, "Whosoever committeth sin is" what? "The servant of sin." It's when we give in to sin, we become bound to it. We become its servant. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can set us free. Verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free" what? "Indeed." That last word is so important. Free indeed. I mean, really free. People think they're free sometimes. Americans may say, "Oh, I'm free. I live in the land of the brave and the free." Oh, yeah? There's a lot of people that are slaves. There was a cashier yesterday at Myers I could tell was a slave. There's all kinds of people that are living in this world, but they are in bondage to sin. They're slaves to it. Jesus is the only one that can break those shackles and set us free. So the first thing is, remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. It's God. Number two, remember how you're living now. In other words, be wise. Notice in Psalm chapter 90, Psalm chapter 90. We need to remember how we are living right now. It's important. Psalm 90. later on. So many times we do things when we're younger that later you may pay for. You may punish your body when you're young, and later you may wish you hadn't. But in Psalm 90, in verse 12, so teach us to what? Number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Number our days. How many days do we have? James 4:14, wherefore you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. We don't know about tomorrow. We only have today, so we must serve God today. Notice in Luke 16, there was a rich man that did not take heed to this point. He did not remember how he was living, what he was doing, and he later would regret it. In fact, to this very day, he regrets that. In Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. I mean, he had everything he could want. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You see, this rich man, he didn't send him out a plate of food. He knew he was out there, but all he got was the crumbs. He didn't tend to any of his physical needs. He could have. He didn't. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. It didn't say the beggar was buried. It said the angels carried him to heaven. I wonder who took care of his body. But the rich man also died and was buried. And where? In hell. He lift up his eyes, being in what? Torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am what? Tormented in what? This flame. Is there real fire in hell? The Bible says there is. This man said, I'm tormented in this flame. Is there any water in hell? No, he was asking for a drop of water from heaven. Notice verse 25, but Abraham said, son, what? Remember. Remember what? That thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Son, remember. Remember how you had it in your life? You lived for a party. Well, you know what? In hell, there are no parties. No parties. Think how much liquor is going to be consumed over this three-day weekend. A lot. A lot. People are going to be driving vehicles they shouldn't be driving. People are going to be driving speedboats out on the water with alcohol content. They're going to be riding jet skis. They're probably going to be on the dunes with dune buggies. They're going to be doing all kinds of things under the influence of liquor. They're not remembering how they are living. And this rich man did not. But in hell, just think, in hell, over and over and over, they're going to wish they'd gotten saved. And so later on, here you find in verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He asked for someone to be sent to testify to his five brothers. If you have a relative in hell, your relative doesn't want you there. Your relative is praying. The problem is it's too late to pray, but some people seemingly never pray at the right time. But in hell, he was praying. I pray thee therefore, Father. And notice he's praying to the wrong person. Just like some religions pray to Mary and other false entities or deities. False deities. Listen, we pray to God. We don't pray to angels. We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to Abraham. We don't pray to any of the saints. Not Saint Bernard or anyone. We pray to God in Jesus' name. That's how we pray. The rich man. But when he got in hell, he decided it was time to pray. When he got in hell, he was praying that someone would go witness, would testify, would preach to us lost loved ones. So we need to remember our Creator. We need to remember how we are living now. Life is going to end. We are going to stand before God one day. And one last point here. I can get to that last point. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We need to remember to keep our first love. Remember to keep our first love. Remember our Creator. Remember how we are living. And remember to keep our first love. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Wow, that's really something. Just reading that makes me think of this week. You know, I stand before you this morning, dead tired, you know, ready to teeter and fall over. And it makes me think of this church here. I mean, it makes me tired just reading about what they were doing. But notice something they were missing. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left what? Thy first love. Thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Well, wait a minute. They were doing all these things. What do you mean they were fallen? I mean, they were laboring. They were checking out people. They were false apostles. And I mean, they seemed to be diligent. But God says, you've fallen. What do you mean, God? I'm doing all these things. I'm dead tired. What do you mean I've fallen? Because you've left your first love. And whenever we leave our first love, those other things then just become outward motions. Yeah, I'm still trying to do the right thing, but inwardly I've lost my zeal, my desire, my joy in doing those things. I'm just like an empty shell. I'm just like a robot doing the things, but I've lost that first love, that flame. What gives a relationship a first love rating? You know, you buy fruit and it's rated. Eggs, you know, grade A. Have you ever seen grade C eggs? I guess those never get to this door. I don't know. What gives a person a first love rating? Well, it's unselfishness. When any relationship starts, you're willing to do anything. In fact, you're more than willing to do anything. You look for ways to please the other person. I mean, how long has it been, young people, since you've actually looked for things you can do to help dad and mom? How long has it been? Has it ever been? Do they have to say, would you please take out the trash? Would you please make your bed? Would you please pick up your socks? Would you please take care of your shoes? Would you please help me do dishes? Would you please wipe the dishes? Would you please wash the dishes? Would you please clean up the basement? When has been the last time that you've displayed a first love and said, Dad, is there anything you need done? Is there anything I can help? Mom, is there anything you would like done? And sometimes you wouldn't even have to ask. Sometimes you can just see. You know, when the trash is falling out of the trash thing, you don't even have to ask. Just do it. And you don't have to be wearing Nikes to do that, okay? Just do it. Just do it. If you see something that needs done, do it. When you have a first love, you actually search for clues how to please a person. I mean, you're watching. You know, when they eat something, you pay attention. Did he or she like that or not? You pay attention. And then your thoughts are constantly upon that person. How can I please that one? That's what makes relationships have that flame. And that's, the Lord said here, verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly, and will remove thy what? Candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now a candlestick holds a flame. The flame can be gone out of a marriage. It's not only a children-parent relationship, but marriage as well. You know what? Your wife can hire a plumber if she needs to. She can hire a carpenter if she needs to. She can hire a mechanic if she needs to. But she can't hire a husband. She needs a husband. You may say, well, sure, she can hire a husband. No, she can't. Because a husband is to be one that loves his wife as himself. She can't pay anyone money to actually do that. Well, they may be doing something for money, but I mean, they're not going to be actually looking to please. They're just looking for the paycheck. It's the same thing. A man can hire a cook, or he can go to McDonald's, or Wendy's, or Taco Bell. A man can hire someone to prepare his food. A man can hire someone to wash his clothes. A man can hire someone to clean his house, but a man can't hire a wife. You can't do that. Because a wife is to love her husband and to love her children, and you can pay someone to do whatever your husband needs done and watch the kids. You can hire a nanny. But that is not the same. To them, they're just a hireling. It's got to be that first love. And the Lord goes on here. And in chapter 2, to the last church here in Laodicea, and he speaks to them. Excuse me, chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 3 in verse 14. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art what? Neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art what? Lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will what? Spew thee out of my mouth. You know what makes God sick? The lack of the first love. What makes God sick is lukewarmness. What makes God sick is when we're just doing things for Him but have no real joy and desire to be doing those things. In other words, it's just empty inside. Just empty inside. That's what a marriage is with no first love. It's just empty emotions. Yeah, I'm bringing home the paycheck. Yeah, I'll pay your bills. Give them to me. And the wife is, yeah, I'll cook your meals, I'll do your laundry, as long as you don't get stuff too dirty. I'll make your bed. It's empty. It's empty. It's not pleasing. There's no first love. There's no joy. No joy. It makes God sick. When we have a relationship like that, it makes God sick. It's lukewarm. So we need to remember. He told the church at Ephesus, remember from whence thou art fallen. We may be still doing the expected things on the outside. But love is a two-way thing. A two-way thing. So remember to keep your first love. So remember your Creator. Remember how you're living. It does matter. It does matter. And remember that first love. Do we still have it for Him? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And I pray, Lord, if there are any here this morning who have never been saved, if there are any here this morning who are still in bondage to sin because they have not yet truly repented and come to Jesus Christ to set them free, I pray You'd help them to come today. And to humble themselves and say, oh God, I do confess that I am a sinner. And I do confess that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, who came to this earth to live a perfect life and to die on the cross, shedding his blood for my sins. And I do receive him now as my personal Savior, and I do want to live for you. Lord, if there are any that are not saved here today, help them to come and make that decision today. I pray you'd help us as Christians. Lord, are we like the Ephesians? Does it appear that we're standing up, but really inside, we've already toppled over? We're so tired. We're so worn out. Lord, I pray that you would help us spiritually, not just to be a robot doing the motions, but that our heart would really be in it. That we would actually look for ways to serve you. Have your way in our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.